Please be seated. I want to start just by briefly addressing the children. If we have any children watching on Zoom today, or if they're not there, if they're playing, maybe they can watch this later. Or a young man that we have here, you can stay where you are. But I just want to do kind of a quick introduction and just a little lesson on prayer. You guys, kids, adults too, you've probably heard this for so long, your whole life, to pray. But we don't often talk about what that looks like, what that means, or what that is. So here's a simple way that the Bible talks about prayer. One word replacement. To pray, one way to look at it is to ask. To ask a question. And so let me ask you another question with that. Why do we ask questions? Probably because we want to learn something, or we need to know something. But at the bottom of it, we're asking questions because we have a need. We have a need, and we want somebody to put an answer or a thing right in our hands, just like that. That's why kids are asking questions all the time. Can we do this? Can I have this? Can I get this? And so, we have a need. But do you know what else it takes to ask a question? Before I answer that, kids, who are you going to ask that question? If you have a need, who are you going to ask? Now, it might depend on what that need is. Like my children, for example, if their need is, I need someone to lift me up over their head and throw me onto the bed, well, I probably get that one. I'm probably going to get that question. If their need is a delicious cake or other baked good, I'm probably not getting that question. That one goes to Mom. But the point is, you probably already have in mind how this need is going to get met, and so you're going to ask the appropriate person in order to get that need met. You know what that's called? That's called faith. I have faith that this person is going to meet this need. And so praying, to ask, to pray, really has two parts. We have a need, and we have faith or confidence in someone who is going to be able to answer and meet that need. And that's how it is with God. Imagine that no matter what the need, no matter what you're about to ask, no matter what you're about to say, imagine knowing someone who can meet that need and fill it for you. And that's God. We have confidence in Him. And most of all, our biggest need is we need help. We can't save ourselves. We need to be forgiven. We need to be made new. We need to be made perfect in Jesus. And God does that. He has provided a Savior, and He's provided a way for us to be with Him and to get to Him. That's prayer, is simply coming to God knowing He's going to hear us and be with us. So let's do that very briefly now. Lord, thank You that You hear our prayers. Thank You that You want to hear from us. And thank You for meeting our need in Jesus. Help us remember that You're with us and always for us. And we pray that You would help us to share that good news with others too. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, that's, in one hand, that's probably all we need to know right there, but the expectation is now that I talk for a while, so I'm going to talk for a little while longer. And I think as adults, we probably run into that same issue that children do sometimes. You and I as adults are told to pray, but we don't always talk about what that looks like or what that means. The assumption is that we pray, but why and how? And what good comes of it? Might be some of the questions that we ask. The assumption is that we pray. Jesus had this assumption. Even Jesus' disciples had this assumption. If we were to have read the Lord's Prayer as it's written in Luke, we would have had an introduction like this. The disciples come up to Jesus and say, Lord, teach us to pray just like John the Baptist taught all of his disciples. And Jesus would have said, when you pray, say this. Did you catch that key word in there? When you pray. Not if or as it happens, but when. The assumption being, all y'all are going to pray. In Matthew, Jesus talks about this in the section 2 on prayer and fasting. He says, when you pray, when you fast, do it like this. The assumption is that we pray. Now, I've made a mistake in my life of assuming that people pray. And what I mean by that mistake is it goes like this. Go ahead and raise your hand if you've ever done this. Have you ever walked up to somebody when they weren't expecting it and said, would you lead us all in a prayer? Have you? People love it when you do that, don't they? No, not typically. They don't. Sometimes they'll do it. My favorite response that I ever got, I shouldn't call it my favorite because it wasn't a very positive response, but at least the guy was honest about it. I called on a man once in a meeting to pray, and you know what he said? He said, I have never prayed out loud in a group like this. I'm 75 years old, and I don't plan to start today. I thought, well, you can't beat that for honesty, can you? Good. So I prayed, and I was happy to. But if the assumption is that we're praying and that we get it and that we love it, then I think, well, maybe we're missing out on some things. Maybe it's not as safe to assume that as we thought. And so if we ask the question, all right, Jesus says pray, and he says pray like this, but why? What is prayer? The simple definition, like I shared with the kids, is to make a prayer is to ask a question, to have a request, or to propose a thought, which is often an expectation of an answer. So that's a simple one. It's making just simply presenting a request. My favorite three-word prayer, Lord, help me. And that's as sufficient and good of a prayer as any. Another thing that happens often in prayer, we saw it in the prayer that we read in the Old Testament lesson from Jonah. Another portion of prayer is simply recalling what has happened. The Psalms do this a lot. Psalms are kind of the songbook, the hymn book of the Old Testament, and they'll do this a lot. A psalm will typically start, Lord, in my distress I cried to you, and I recalled the great works of your hand. And some will go into detail. Psalm 105 pops into my mind, recalling that the Lord is the one who parted the Red Sea so that the Israelites could walk across. The Lord is the one who in the desert, when the Israelites rebelled, sent snakes to bite them. And then it was the Lord who provided the bronze snake that all who looked would receive new life. And the Psalms are simply recalling who God is and what he's done and calling it a prayer. What a marvelous interaction. Another thing that a prayer can be, as the disciples demonstrated, it can serve as a sign of allegiance. And what I mean by that is this. If praying is asking a question, if praying is recalling events or proposing a situation, if y'all have friends or family, these sorts of things come with no effort whatsoever. If you have a friend and you want to be in a relationship with them, well, you call them, you text them, you make requests, you check in on them, you share parts of your day. Why? Because that's what you do in a relationship with someone. And it's absolutely no different. In fact, it's way better to have that sort of relationship with the creator and sustainer of the universe. The God who said, let there be light, and behold, light appeared, has also said, come to me. Pray to me. And right along with prayer comes fellowship. And right along with fellowship comes worship. God invites us into this relationship. We talked a lot about this in Bible study, but it seems like there's some anxiety around praying. Like, what if I'm not going to get the words right? Anybody have that problem? You don't like praying out loud because what if I stutter? What if I say the wrong thing? What if I mess up somebody's name? The little caveat that I'd like to make on that is, ain't nothing magic about me that I get to wear this cute little plastic white square here. I run that risk every week, but I do it, and I'm still standing. I've butchered names before, and I'm still here. Just to hear that as an encouragement, if that's your struggle with prayer. Is it embarrassing? It can be, to hear our own voice, to kind of have that air of vulnerability as we pray. And maybe that's part of the issue right there. When we share in a prayer, when we ask God for something, when we recall the events in our life that He has walked us up to and through, perhaps that's too vulnerable. Because it's an intimate, wonderful thing. Yet God invites us to. Whatever the struggle might be, whatever the difficulty might be, what I want you to hear from me this morning, when the question comes, how much should I pray? When should I pray? How can I pray correctly? My answer is now and always going to be yes. Yes. If you need some structure in your prayer, let's help you get that structure in your prayer, in your time with God. If you just want to let it out spontaneous, however it falls, let's do that and see what that looks like. The point is when you pray. Not if, but when. Because whether you are in the metaphorical depths of the sea or the belly of the fish or on the highest mountain staring at the face of Jesus, pray. Talk to your God. Perhaps a struggle goes even deeper, though. Perhaps that the struggle is in the implications of putting it into practice, where, like I said with the kids, to pray confesses, I need help. And it seems like that theme has been coming up in the last couple of weeks as we've been going through this On the Rock series. We don't like to admit that we need help. We love to be able to do things on our own. We like to fix problems. We like to solve things. And praying to God implies that we need something outside of ourselves. The fact of the matter is, that's true. No matter what our situation is, the thing that we ultimately need help with is being saved from our sin, being saved from our imperfection, being saved from that debt that we owe God by sinning against Him. And God has promised to meet that need through faith in Jesus. We kind of touched on this last week when Jesus asked the question, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or rise and walk? And on the one hand, it's easier to say your sins are forgiven because no one can fact check you on that. That one's harder to prove. But along those lines then, perhaps some of the fear that comes from putting ourselves in that vulnerable state of asking for help and confessing to God that we need Him. Maybe the question that we're scared of the answer is, what if He doesn't? What if we don't get the help that we need? What if we don't get the rescue in the way that we want to be rescued? And that's a tough question. What if our life doesn't end up looking the way that we wanted it to? That's where the faith comes in. That perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. Perhaps God will give us exactly what we need, and perhaps we need to let go of our expectations and take on God's. Like when Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble. Well, we don't like to hear that. We don't want to have trouble. But if we stick around, if we stay face to face with Jesus, we hear him finish that sentence and say, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And even when things don't look the way we want them to, Jesus remains with us. Jesus remains our Savior. And we find that we still have the better things. Another question that we might ask as we pray and we're asking God for help, we're asking God to be with us and remain with us. What if the way we are stands in opposition to some of the things that God has laid out for us in his word? What if we're asking God to remove a habit that we're really not ready to let go of? What if we're confessing a sin that we know we're going to commit again? Maybe this is what we're asking. What if God actually changes me like he promised he would? What if I end up changing? What if I end up letting go of those pet sins that I have? What if God actually leads me to change habits and I don't have those things to fall back on anymore? And where I'm going with that one, you know my history, most of you do, of being an alcoholic, recovered alcoholic. If you've ever been in a situation or known someone who is dependent on that drink or that drug or that lust or that lie or whatever it might be, a thought that goes through that person's mind is, what am I going to do if I don't have that anymore? Because that's become the way we live, the way we get by. And you take that away, and it can be a scary thing. But Jesus came into the world to say that's the point. When we're sinking in our own sin, in our own lostness, it's Jesus who comes as if we're sinking in the water. Jesus walks on that water and puts his hand out to us and says, I've got this. I've got you. And a simple prayer, Lord, help me. God, I can't, but you can. God hears that prayer, and in the name and for the sake of Jesus, he holds us. And he gives us a new chance. He gives us a new life. He takes away the old and gives us the new. And from personal experience, whether it's my life or in the Bible, we look at Peter, we look at Paul, we look at Rahab, we look at example after example after example. As scary as it is, when we pray, when we trust in the Lord like he asks us to, things get better. When we keep our eyes on Jesus, when we are pointed right toward God, he casts light into the darkness. And his perfect love casts out fear. Prayer ultimately draws God and us together. To pray then is simply to place our confidence in God for any and every situation. So how do we put this into practice? When someone says, pray, What do we do? Where do we go with this? I want to encourage you again to think of it simply as an opportunity to act out my relationship with God, to check in with Him like a friend, to call upon Him like you would a confidant, to simply say, Lord, I might be out of words, but I am yours and you are mine. Amen. To pray in every situation, to put this into practice. Don't wait for times of needing help. Don't wait. Pray. Talk to God. Tell Him a story. I always think of this example. You know, I have three children, and if you've had children or even just been around young kids, you know that sometimes a conversation can look like this. Dad, I was at school, and there was another person there, and I went to school, Dad, and I have this, I want to tell you, and it's just like you want to be like, spit it out already. Come on. But think about this. They're coming to you. That's your child. That's your friend. That's your little person. And they have this great story that they can't wait to share with you. Now, in a perfect world, our reaction would be, all right, I'm all yours. I don't care how long this takes. I'm going to enjoy this. I am going to be with you in this moment. That's the type of relationship that we can count on with God. Whether we have structure in our prayer, whether we are taking our sweet time, whether we can't hardly mutter the words out, God just wants us close. And we get to have that. The last thing I want to do, just as a practical point, is just try and help you. If you're the type who sometimes, like me, needs some structure in their prayer, here's a simple acronym that we can help, it's that we can have and use. And it's pray. So we're going to do a P, and we're going to do an R, and then we're going to do another R because I thought of two R words that I really want to use. And then we're going to use an A and a Y. So here we go. If you want some structure to your prayer, anytime, any place, start with a word of praise. God, you are great. My God, you are always with me. My God, I can always count on you. And then the two R words, repent. Lord, I've been trying to do this myself, but I want to do it your way. I've been trying to get what I've been getting after, and I want what you want. That's repent. The other R is recall. Lord, you've always been with me. You have brought me to this point. Lord, when I was scared, you took that fear away. Lord, when I was in over my head, you showed me that there was help. And we simply recall who the Lord is and what He's done. Lord, this sin has been bothering me, but you sent Jesus to die, and I am yours, and you are mine. A is we ask. Lord, help me. Lord, watch over my friend. Lord, let this moment of joy just keep going. And finally, why is yield. Your will be done. I want what you want. Lord, I've got some ideas, but yours are better. And we can just use that model, that way, to kind of guide us through this interaction, this grace relationship with God. So if you're taking notes, praise, repent, recall, ask, yield. And we find the answer to all of our prayers in Jesus is yes. God wants to be with you. God wants to save you. God wants you to walk with Him. And so God grant that we would do that today and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's just do that right now and put that.